You're listening to Greater LA from KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Hey there, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Spoiler alert, the U.S. men's soccer team has its first result at the World Cup in Qatar.
Pulisic on the run, Pulisic has Weah, Pulisic rolls it in, Tim Weah!
Yes, the Americans scored in the first half, but in the second they gave up a penalty, and the game ended in a 1-1 draw. It all kicked off this weekend in the tiny nation on the Arabian Peninsula, and for the next 4 weeks, the top players and fiercest rivalries will play out for an audience of literally billions of global viewers. That includes Southern Californians, even if you have to get up at 5 a.m. to catch some of the games. Well, here in Greater L.A., in honor of the once-every-4-years World Cup, you're going to hear a story every week about the world of soccer, as represented right here in Southern California. Today, a story about the supporters of L.A.'s newest men's pro soccer team, the Los Angeles Football Club. Well, many LAFC supporters come from south of the border and have brought the love of the game and their fierce football loyalties to L.A. But when it comes to the World Cup, and nations pitted against one another, the old ties are hard to break. KCRW's Bob Carlson, LAFC fan and host of the Unfictional Storytelling podcast, tells this tale.
Just weeks before this World Cup began, on November 5th, there was a soccer game in downtown Los Angeles that a lot of people in the city didn't even know was happening, but it was called the greatest game in the history of Major League Soccer.
Life is not fair, you know? Soccer is not fair.
This is Julio Ramos of the District 9 Ultras supporter group of LAFC.
Sometimes soccer, you can play the best game of your life and have 25 chances a goal, and they only have one chance, and they score, and they win, and you're out, you know?
It was the finals of the MLS Cup between the two best teams of the year from the East and West, the Philadelphia Union and Los Angeles Football Club, LAFC. It was a hard physical battle, and the score was 2-2 after 90 minutes of regulation. Game went into overtime. And then with just 4 minutes left in overtime, LAFC goalkeeper Maxime Crapeau came out to intercept a Philadelphia player on a breakaway. They collided, and Max fractured his ankle. On the TV broadcast of the game, you could see Julio Ramos watching the game sadly from the front of the LAFC supporter section.
I was heartbroken, man, you know, regardless of the game. When Max Crapeau broke his leg, the players become family, you know. He's like a brother to me. And in my head right away thinking, man, he put his life at risk for us. And not just that, you know, that he was 15 days away from playing his first World Cup.
Max had been on the World Cup roster for Canada. As they drove him off the field, he gestured to his teammates to keep going. Don't give up. And he gave the crowd a thumbs up as he went into the stadium tunnel.
I remember Max sitting up and saying, come on, guys, let's go. So that gave me the power to start screaming at everybody, come on, it's not over yet. Let's not give up. Come on.
Julio Ramos is a capo for the 3252 LAFC Supporters Union. That means most games Julio stands in front of over 3,000 supporters in the north end of Bank of California Stadium. People from all parts of Los Angeles chanting, singing, drumming, on their feet the whole game.
It's not over yet, you know, and so everybody started reacting to that. As a cop, that's your job. Hey, it's not done, trust me. It's this our cup, you gotta keep chanting.
On the play, Max Crapeau was given a red card for impeding the Philadelphia player. LAFC would now play a man down, 10 men to Philly's 11, with their backup keeper in goal. A few minutes later, Philadelphia went ahead, deep into overtime.
Jack Elliott! Philadelphia takes the lead!
And this was the moment when LAFC fans like me, watching the game at home on TV, started to wrap our heads around the sick feeling that we were about to lose this game. Like Julio Ramos said, soccer is unfair, life is unfair, and as exciting as the wins can be, the harsh reality of losing hits you even harder. The pain of soccer is as much a part of it as the joy. It's probably a bigger part of it. Back at Bank of California Stadium, Julio Ramos was looking over at his kids.
I look in the stands and I look at my 18-year-old and my 15-year-old. crying of pain, you know? And for me, it was a moment of sadness, but also a moment of pride. Pride because I was like, man, you know, my culture, it's now under blood. Now they feel it, they love it the same way I do. And, you know, 2 minutes later, 1 minute later, you know, we score the equalizer. And it was such an amazing moment, you know?
Delier to Palacios to the byline. Palacios clipping it up.
Aging Welsh superstar Gareth Bale tied the game for LAFC. Overtime ended in a 3-3 tie. Now the game would be decided by soccer's own version of Russian roulette, penalty kicks. Each team has five players to take a direct shot on goal. Best of five wins. In theory, it should be easy for the shooter, but these things are decided by who's the best goalie on the day. Philadelphia had the MLS Goalkeeper of the Year in their goal. LAFC had backup goalkeeper John McCarthy. Just before the kick started, John McCarthy was standing in front of the supporters of the 32-52. He was just a few feet away from Julio Ramos, who was holding a megaphone.
McCarthy was like very close to me, and I got my megaphone and I told him, listen, my boy, this is not a coincidence. What happened today is not a coincidence. This is destiny. This is your cup. You're going to give us a cup. This is destiny for you to be the one that is going to give us the championship. And it happened, you know.
McCarthy blanked Philadelphia on their first three kicks, while LAFC scored two. And now they only needed to bury the last one to win the game and the championship.
Can win MLS Cup for LAFC with this kick. Yes!
LAFC backup goalkeeper John McCarthy was the game MVP. It was incredible.
I'm a person that loves the culture, and I believe in the guts of football and all those things. So, you know, it was not a coincidence. That way we won the championship, it was destiny. It was meant to be, and it was meant to be that way so that we can enjoy it more, so that we can say, wow, wow, you know, we're champions.
The reason Julio Ramos believes in the gods of football is because he grew up in a football church.
What is your earliest memories as a football fan?
I was probably like 5 years old. My godfather, he used to play for Chivas Guadalajara. He was the assistant coach. So he took me to the field of El Estadio Jalisco, and I was part of the picture, you know, the team picture. I will never forget that. It was an amazing experience. I remember the roar of the stadium and the excitement, you know, that I felt for being on a sacred field of El Estadio Jalisco, you know.
He was born to be a supporter. He was even a member of the junior supporter group.
It was called La Porra Infantil de Señora Vallejo. So it was like a supporter group for little kids under 14. And I was always there supporting my Chivas, you know. They're the love of my life. But unfortunately, you know, it's something that I only get to watch on TV.
Like a lot of Mexican-Americans who grew up with the team, Julio watches his boyhood team from afar. But he's transferred a lot of his passion to his new home team, LAFC.
I love them the same to me. Like I said, one is the love of my life. One is the one that taught me how beautiful football is. How it's not just a sport, how he has become a culture, a family, a religion. And that experience, I brought it to LAFC. It's a beautiful feeling. You know, I always tell people when they try to clown me, like, there's no way you can love two clubs. It's only one. I'm like, no, bro, I have five kids. And I love them all the same, you know? So don't give me that crap.
LAFC has grown an intense level of support that's rarely seen for an American team. They've tapped into the deep roots of the sport that were already a part of the city.
Football culture here in Los Angeles has always been here, man. Always been here for decades. It's something that have always existed through us, the immigrants. You have the culture from Mexicans, from Central Americans that love football, that love soccer, Europeans, and the passion for football has always been here.
It's a passion that ties into your identity. You feel connected with the values and fortunes of the club. Julio's group, the District 9 Ultras, and other supporter groups worked with LAFC to build a team fan base that was fed directly from the generations of passionate fans, many of them immigrants who are already living here. They've built a culture around their love of the team and the city of Los Angeles. But when the World Cup comes around, that's a different story.
If they don't play Mexico, I mean, I'm cool rooting for USA. I'm like, all right. Yeah. But when it's Mexico, USA, it's 100% Mexico, you know? I would wish and hope that USA wins, but not against Mexico.
Like most Mexican fans, Jose Salcedo follows the national team closely.
I was born in Mexico. I was born in Mexico in 1981, Zamora, Michoacan. I was raised here in the United States. I came here when I was about 12, 13 years old, right in the middle of the World Cup 1994 when we landed here. I mean, football, soccer, to me, it's part of my DNA. I mean, I will not be able to live with it. And that's 24-7. My life entirely involves around the ball.
We're standing in a storage shed full of two of Jose's collection projects. On one side of the room is his impressive display of Adidas sneakers.
First off, this is a dream come true, right? I'm an Adidas shoe collector. So my storage here, it's the shape of an Adidas box. Painted with the stripes on the side, full of shoes and full of jerseys. So this is like my little Disneyland.
On the other side of the room are over 100 soccer jerseys, mostly Mexican team jerseys.
So it's a game, you know, you're hunting for the shirts on eBay, different websites. You know, you're constantly looking for people in Mexico that might collect, that they might have extras, and then I purchase from them. And and just like that, it came out to be over 100 jerseys. LA is a melting pot. You know, people that are here that love the sport, it's because they have it in their DNA from their country.
My family's from Guadalajara, like I said, so a bunch of, like, half of my family goes for Chivas, and the other half goes for America, so they're rivals, they're basically rivals.
Eric Duenas is a player for LAFC. He was on the podium as the team raised the MLS Cup trophy the other week.
I started when I was 4 years old, I started playing. I went to my dad's game, and I feel like that's where I fell in love with the sport, I guess.
Eric is almost a living embodiment of LAFC's connection with the community.
This is the team that it's always going to have my heart because I grew up here and I'm from LA. This is where it all started for me.
He came up through LAFC's youth system, beginning when he was just 12 years old.
Yeah, it was awesome. There were some times where I even got a chance to be like a ball boy. My dad's a supporter, so I am too. I'm a very proud supporter. So there were some times where I would even be in the 32-52 screaming and chanting with everyone else. So it was amazing. It was an amazing experience.
Eric Duenas became the first Academy player to be signed to the first team. And he also was invited to camp with the Mexican national youth team.
I went to two camps over there in Mexico City. And it was a great experience. My first two ever camps in the Mexico national team. Any Mexican has the honor to represent Mexico, and they will represent Mexico with pride and with all their heart.
Julio Ramos thinks it's a common thing for young generations of Mexican-Americans born in the U.S. to still root for Mexico.
For example, you can ask my kids, and they don't go for the U.S. national team. They support Mexico. You grow in that atmosphere to the point that even if you were born here, you know, you feel the pride and you feel proud to represent El Tri. There's a lot of us that cannot go to Mexico and enjoy the national team, you know, or cannot go outside the country to represent Mexico. So it's a sense of pride. To me, Los Angeles is a world city. So you have people from all around the world. You know, Armenians, they love soccer. They love football. Koreans, they love football. You go Mexicans, obviously we love football. Salvadorians, people from Guatemala, Honduras, you know, Colombians, Argentinians. And then you go to the Europeans. I got friends from Ireland, from Germany. Football, the sport that everybody knows around the world, is so strong in Los Angeles, more than any other city. Football is like music, man. It's a universal language. And football or soccer is more than a sport. It's a tool to change life. It's a tool to help people. It's a tool to create. It's a tool to make it a culture, a religion. And soccer has the power of stopping wars and saving lives. It's more than just 90 minutes on the field. It represents way more than that.
By the way, that story comes from KCRW's podcast called Football Confidential, Stories of Soccer in the International City, Los Angeles. You can find more at kcrw.com.